the latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. And tonight, your Pulse One Rugby League dog will be discussing all things across the world of rugby league. The Rugby League Power Players are back with us again. The Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, is here in the studio alongside beauty personified, a.k.a. the Twitter stalker, Rob Parker. If you want to win a couple of tickets to the Bulls versus Sheffield match on May the 3rd, answer the following question. What was the name of the stadium where the Bulls secured their first Super League title in 1997 against the Sheffield Eagles? It is the Sheffield Eagles. It was, sorry, the Sheffield Eagles' home stadium. Okay, contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or tweet us and just hashtag RHP show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
There was a little bit of a delay there. Ewan, the producer, he's done 15 hours since because he's a brand new dad. He's been up since the crack of dawn with a little baby. Poppy, yep. He's been up with Poppy all morning long and he's doesn't know which button to push.
He's being miserable. I walked in the studio today, I said, hey, are you in? He went, all right. I was like, what's up with you? He went, well, I've been up for 15 hours. Apparently, Ewan's the first person to ever have a child and do a full-time job as well. So please all spare a thought for Ewan.
Well, everyone about it. Yeah, we see what you feel on the inside, Ewan, and what we see on the outside aren't always the same thing.
Most of the time, yeah.
Oh, okay. Summer's here, boys. Summer's here. Leon, what's going? You there? Can give us a shout-out, Leon. Give us a shout-out.
Yo. Good day, everybody.
He's rocked up in his shorts today. I like it.
He's embracing the summertime. He apparently, this is the worst luck in the world for Leon because he'll come to the show one day and he'll crash his car. He'll come to another. And what have you done today, mate?
Lost my card. Lost my credit card.
He lost his car. He lost his keys. He lost his phone.
Lost my phone. Oh, God. I try to put myself in a good mood so I can feel good again, but I just keep on doing stupid things before I'm about to do the show. So
you walked in here and you were just shaking your head and, you know, your bottom lip was dragging on the ground.
It's always dragging on ground.
The worst thing is that Leon said that he went to Morrison's to go and get some food before he actually started the show. Turns up to Morrison's, got a full bag of, a full trolley full of stuff. Turns out he's not got any money to pay for it.
He only had a fiver.
Well, I think maybe this bottom of the Super 8s thing might be having an impact. I think there's a bigger story.
The pressure gets to you.
I'm all right now. My head's back on. Let's go. Come on.
Did you, when you stood there at the counter and you were saying, oh, I haven't got any money, did you pop your collar and say, do you know who I am?
Yeah, the woman you are.
Did she let you take
the
chicken?
They all know I am in there.
Credit crunch in the pocket.
I'm joking. No, I've been going in there since we're about 2.
So summer's here, finally. Absolutely brilliant. You know, I think we've all been waiting for it. Rob, you come bouncing into work this morning. You were feeling it on that drive up from Mordor. I'm guessing it's raining down there in Lancashire.
No, it is sun. The sun is shining, and you can see by my sausage skin that yeah. I have certainly caught the sun already. So if anyone's seen Phoenix Nights, I look like Jerry the Berry.
Yeah, Rob Parker's been out in the sun for 5 minutes, and the big shiny head of his is bright red. It's like a light bulb.
So the panel for a sex machine.
Ewan shaking his head. We're not allowed to use the word, say the word sex, are we? I know
you
we're not allowed to say politics. Hey, he's giving up. Anyway, Leon, you're back in Bradford now. This is your first summer in Bradford. Very different to the south of France, isn't it?
Well, to be honest with you, most days in France are like this anyway, so.
If it's winter or summer.
It's all the way through the year. Most days is generally like this, yeah.
So, I mean, people, you always ask me, because they think of New Zealand as a beautiful place, what are you doing back?
Well, Bradford's my home, isn't it? All my friends are here, and my kids love being home, and my house is still here, and it's where, home is where the heart is, isn't it? I'm a Bradford lad through and through, and I like being home.
And
If I won the lottery and I made a couple of million, I still wouldn't live that far from Bradford.
This is one of the kind of comments that Leon always comes out with. Remember about 10 years ago, Leon said, I'd pick back Blackpool Beach over Bondi Beach.
Yeah, I'll be honest.
If I won the lottery, I'd still say Bradford.
I wouldn't live too far. I might go a little bit North Yorkshire way, a bit Dales or something like that.
Starting wearing tweeds and going shooting at the weekend.
Yeah. You can still get there within the greater Bradford area, though, can't you?
Well,
you
know, the back moment.
All right, well, as always, we'd love to have you home, and I answer exactly the same.
Love being home.
I come over. I come over to play rugby, but actually, I stay for the people, and I had to stay for the people because of my wife and my kids. But in saying that, there's something about Yorkshire that I absolutely love. It's a every time you go for a drive, you go over the crest of a hill, there's a brand new vista in front of you. So that's what I love about the place. And on days like this, it really does make it special.
Do you know? I actually, being obviously a proud Lancastrian, there's part of me that does love Yorkshire. And I really do enjoy Yorkshire, and obviously Leon saying that Bradford, you know, obviously is his home, it's where he grew up. But Bradford Bulls was my first team. I left Lancashire when I was 16 years old. I lived in Bradford for a year or so, then travelled. All my success was in Bradford. I'm a proud Bradfordian as well, I think.
Adopted.
Well, if you can adopt this one outside of me, the
we'll take you. We'll take you.
I've got an, you know, my accent is like a sexy overseas foreigner type of, you know, real cool type
very
of
mysterious
accent.
Mysterious, yeah.
And
I
you've
like
just
that.
Got that Bolton, Lancashire boring accent.
I know, but they
it's
like
Bolton,
you say
it's Lee. Lee.
It's not Lee.
He's not
it's right, you're right,
he's
Leon.
Not
it's not even Bolton, it's
don't,
Lee.
Don't let him fool you.
I just adapt to the circumstances around me.
All right, let's have a look at last weekend's results in the Challenge Cup and also the first Utility Super League. Bulls went down to a strong finishing Hulk Hour. Rob, you were at that game, 30 points to 50. I don't think the scoreline really told the story of the game itself.
Yeah, 100%. I thought Bradford Bulls came out real strong, and the bit that I was most impressed with, that Bradford's forward pack really went toe-to-toe and probably out-muscled and out-enthused Hulk AR's forward pack, and there was a couple of punches thrown. And
oh, there was
there
a little bit of biffing
biff, yeah.
as well, yeah.
There was a bit of biffing on everything.
Had a little Adam O'Brien in the middle of it, sort of trying to mix it up. I love the little blokes trying to get in there in a big man sport.
Yeah, but you know what, they really put themselves about. Probably the biggest difference was maybe Hulk AR's kicking game. And that being probably by Mantellato, the Australian winger, who came away with four tries and a handful of goals as well. But the turning point in the game was Bradford scored, and I think they went 2 or 3 points up. And then Hull KR kicked off to restart the game. The ball bounced, went straight out in the full. Bradford had to do a dropout, and then they actually just, you know, imploded
sort
from
of,
there. But
it kind
was
of
a real
broke
good
the back
game.
Of it, didn't it? Yeah, I thought it was an exciting game for at least 65, 70 minutes. So just end-to-end stuff. They really did throw the ball around and take some chances.
Yeah, and do you know what? The biggest thing that I was really impressed with, the Bradford crowd really got behind the boys, and that was like the old days when us three used to play together. They were really vocal, and you could see that made a difference to the players.
Definitely, great turnout. Lee Centurions went on to beat an injury and suspension during Salford, which was the I guess a televised game on Sky TV on Saturday afternoon, 22 points to 16. Actually, I quite enjoyed this game as well because Lee had basically full charge of the game, but at the same time, Salford had to deal with adversity on the bounce. And actually, you know, it wasn't until the final moments of the game that Lee really did run away with it.
Yeah, I was actually at the game and I was commentating on for it. It was a really good game, a great atmosphere. Salford were in control for quite large periods of the game. They had a bad injury to Junior Sow, who went off, and that was a kind of a real bad blow to them. But probably the biggest one was Michael Dobson going off, and I think they had to switch Corey Patterson then to halfback. Big, you know,
he went to stand off here.
Yeah, 6'4" back rower, but I was really impressed by his skills.
He wasn't too bad, eh? It's just I think there was a little bit of a disconnect between all the plays that the dude put on, but he ran the ball well, he distributed well, but it was definitely a massive blow to lose Dobson in the middle of that game. Wakey showed their Super League quality against Halifax, winning out 44 points to 16. And Sheffield were the other big game. Leon, they lost to your Hull FC side. How did that game pan out?
We were smashing them 22-0 at half-time, and then we took us foot off the gas a little bit in the second half, and they came back. And to be honest with you, they were one part of the game where they could look like they could have nearly drawn level with us, but in the end, we were a little bit too strong for them.
The rest of the outcome for the games that weekend was Batley beat Swinton, Hunslet lost to Dewsbury, Lee Miners Rangers lost to York. That was a bit of a... There was a little bit of a hope going around Lee at that time that the amateur club could stay in one other round. What was it like, the word in the town, Rob, at that time?
Well, obviously, living in Bolton, I wouldn't really know what goes on in Lee these days. You know, I kind of live up the hill. There was a real kind of excitement around that. You know, Lee's only a small town. I think maybe 30, 40,000 people living in and around Lee, unfortunately. But the town has now gone rugby mad. Lee Centurions have obviously getting the limelight. There's two junior or two amateur teams teams being Lee Rangers and Lee East. And there's a real good crop and a real good feeling of rugby league in those in and around that area. So, unfortunately, they came away second best on the day, but they gave a real good account of themselves being obviously being an amateur team up against a professional side like York.
All right, the final game of the Challenge Cup was the North Wales Crusaders got pumped by Featherston away. Now, that led on to the sixth round draw, which was on Monday of the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup. This is where we got the top eight teams from 2014, Super League team from 2014, have now finally entered the competition. Widnes Vikings will see Batley Bulldogs, Leeds Rhinos will see Huddersfield Giants, Hull FC will see Castleford Tigers at home, Wigan Warriors are at home to Hull Kingston Rovers, Catalans Dragons are at home to Featherston Rovers, St Helens are at home to York City Knights, Wakefield Trinity Wildcats are at home to Lee Centurions, and Dewsbury Rams are at home to Warrington Wolves. You've got to say that the pick of that round has got to be the Leeds Rhino Huddersfield game. What are your thoughts on that one, Leon?
Well, obviously the way that Leeds are playing at the moment, if they can sustain that kind of quality that they're showing at the moment, then they've got to be massive favourites, not only to win that game, but to win the cup in the long run, really. I mean, they're red hot, absolutely blistering at the moment, and it's up to the rest of the league to catch them up.
And Rob, you're gonna, I just want you to have a look at their Wakefield Trinity Wildcats at home to the Lee Centurions, because that could be another big scalp for the championship side.
Would it be a big scalp? I don't think so. I think Wakefield are down. No, I don't think it is. I think,
but it is a Super League club.
It is a Super League club, but they're the worst Super League club by the table standings at the moment. And that's not to speak disrespectfully of them, but at the moment they shipped in the 80 points didn't they, against Warrington.
I've just put a nice little bet on with my friend Nigel at the gym today. I've said that Wakefield will beat Lee.
Hey, talking about bits,
I owe you a fiver. I was just going to get
we can get back to that, can't we? We can get back to that. Wakefield will beat Lee. You hit it here first.
I'll have a fiver on
and
that.
And why?
I'll have a fiver.
Justify.
Double quiz.
Justify, because Lee are red hot at the moment. Wakefield have a run of injuries and are in poor form, you could argue.
Well, poor form, really. They've got Halifax, who was supposedly one of the best teams in the championship, and they're pretty much white flour with them. They're going to have players coming back. They've got Tim Smith. They've got my friend, Binny Payer. And I think that the Super League quality will eventually shine through, and I think that the game against Salford for Lee, they basically nothing more could have gone wrong for Salford on that day, and they only just won. So from what I've saw, my predictions, I'm going Wakefield to beat Lee, because everybody's going to back Lee, so I'm going to go Wakefield.
Well, I actually agree with what you're saying there. Obviously, you know, Lee played against Salford and they
had
a couple of
injuries. It's not his first time, you know.
But do you think there's a big thing with confidence in sport? And I think Wakefield are really lacking in confidence, and I think Lee now have gone 21 games unbeaten.
Yeah, but you would argue that these games are the opportunities for them to get their confidence back. This is the game; these are the games and the competition for them to actually turn their whole season around.
Well, also given the Super 8 system at the end of the season, that's what Lee will be really up for this, to try and put a marker down.
I think the very a more telling factor now in Super League and in Rugby League in this country is getting a home tie, and I think Lee at home are very, very, very hard to beat. At Wakefield might be a different story.
All right, thanks, boys. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back and have a look at last weekend's Super League matches, and we'll cover all the hot topics around the world of Rugby League. Stay with us. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880. Pulse One.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Sup, West Yorkshire, Robbie Hunter Paul here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening here on Pulse One. Now, if you want to win a couple of tickets to next Sunday's top of the table clash between the Bulls and Sheffield Eagles, just answer this question: what was the name of the stadium where the Bulls secured their first Super League title in 1997? This is before it became the Super League playoff system. So back in those days, back in 1997, 98 was the first Super League playoff system. 97 was the final season where it was first past the post. Tell us where the Bulls secured that title. What was the name of Sheffield Eagles' home stadium? You can contact us on pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or on Twitter, #RHP show. Okay, let's look back at last weekend's Super League matches. There was only four matches due to the Challenge Cup fifth round. Started that big one, Leeds hammering St Helens. Big surprise, 41 points to 16. I got to admit, I was surprised with that scoreline. I was surprised with how dominant Leeds were in the opening 40 minutes. They had a few things go their way. St. Helens played a little loose, but at St. Helens on a Friday night, you would expect them to perform a lot better. They've got all their key personnel back as well. You just would have hoped that they would have put on a better display.
Yeah, let's be honest, the game was over after about 25 minutes.
It was
just so dominant, such a dominant performance. I'm not going to talk too badly on Saints because obviously that's my team, but I'm going to talk about how good Leeds were.
Well, we're starting to forget who actually is your team.
Saints.
Well, this, you're so many, aren't you?
Saints are my ex-team.
Well,
yeah,
you've got Bulls as well, and then you've got Catalans.
Saints and Bulls. Saints and Bulls are my teams.
Oh, that's all what right. It is. Okay, well, a little bit of angst towards
us.
I wondered why he was saying he wasn't that worried about being away from Catalans. He's just dropped them right in the deep end. But, okay, so tell us your thoughts on the Saints-Leeds
match. I just think, like, the Leeds just looked absolutely out of this world. I mean, they've got attacking flair. They've got Watkins, who he can throw a ball to at any time. Sutcliffe is coming, emerging as probably, you know, the hottest young property on the British market at the moment, along with Callum Watkins as well. And they just looked class, didn't they? They just looked like they could attack from anywhere. They were breaking, and to be fair, Saints didn't look too cracking in defence. They won. Some of the tries were pretty soft breakaway tries, but that touch of class by Sutcliffe when they made that break and he kicked over to the left-hand wing and the winger caught it and scored, I just thought that was class.
Yeah, that shows a real level of confidence from the young halfback. He is the person that they're positioning to take over the reins of Kevin Sinfield as their leadership model. That puts a lot of weight on his shoulders, wouldn't you say?
Not really. I think the weight would only come on your shoulders if you feel the pressure, if you coach or you listen to fans or you listen to media outlets. But if you've got that self-confidence within yourself and you block the other things out, then the evidence of that is that kick. If you were scared and you felt the pressure, you wouldn't attempt that kick.
No, you're
right. You'd be too scared. But it looked like he's not got a care in the world. Get ball, gives it a kick, hit, score, boom.
You would argue, Coach Brian McDermott, also the type of person who would be saying to him, I want to encourage you to do those things. Think outside the box. Let's play some open rugby. Feel free, feel comfortable. That's how the X-Factor players win games for you.
I think it's a little bit like being on Street Fighter, isn't it? When you get your special power up and you're full of confidence, you pull these special moves out the back, don't you?
Yeah. I think it's been a great move from Brian Mack. And knowing Brian Mack as we do, we know he's a very, very mentally tough man and a tough man physically as well. But to leave Kevin Sinfield out for as long as he has done and to put his faith and trust into Sutcliffe like he has, it's a bold move. It's a great move because Kevin Sinfield's one of the biggest legends that Super League's produced. Definitely the biggest player that Leeds have ever produced. And it's a big call to get to that point in your career where you leave your captain out to play Sutcliffe.
But importantly, he also has Kevin as that ace up his sleeve. So if things do start to go wrong, he knows that he's got that rock on the bench that he can bring on, get control of the game, quiet things down, and then start the team moving back forward again.
But maybe he's also done it as a ploy to just to make Kevin Sinfield aware that, you know, just because he is captain, he's not first selected in the team. And obviously with this, you know, group of players, with Jamie Peacock and Kevin Sinfield moving on at the end of this year, he's just holding them back, and then when the time's right, Sinfield will be coming up to the playoff time, fresh, ready, knowing that it's his last chance for glory, and I think that's the kind of move that he'll be making.
All the games these Super League coaches play, eh? Who wants to be a Super League coach? Well, Leeds definitely are setting the standard. They're the benchmark that all teams have to get to at this point in time. They're leading the way, blazing the way, you could even say. Okay, Cass struggled away at Widnes, 46 points to 16. That's even a bigger hiding than the Leeds hammering Saints. Didn't they come as a surprise to you, Rob?
It did come as a surprise, but also we've seen with probably both Widnes and Cass so far this season that they've been hit and miss.
They have.
We just can't pick who's going to win, what kind of team's going to be turning
up. A bit like our mates team over there.
Yeah, but again, you do know that when Cass, you know, hit the straps, they're a very, very good team. And you just don't know, the inconsistency must be really kind of choking away at obviously Darryl Powell, because as soon as he gets that and he gets that kind of all clicking together, the contenders for the top four.
I mean, for those teams that are sitting from fourth spot all the way down to Leon, your guys second from the bottom, there's nothing in it. You guys are on 8 points and Salford are on 11.
With a game in hand.
With a game in hand.
Yeah.
So it's a... It's playing out, isn't it?
If we win the next two games, we could probably go from 11th and bounce up to 6th or 5th.
Yeah,
so
you're
crazy.
Right.
It's a crazy game.
It's absolutely brilliant. I love it. I think the whole concept of Every Minute Matters is actually, it's, you described it, how it was, you could feel it in the changing room, you could feel it on the field, the pressure that it was coming, exuding from the coaches, from the clubs coming out, and it's actually affecting performances. So obviously it's having the effect that we thought that it would, well, we all hoped that it would. Giants had a strong win at home against Catalans. Any surprises there, Leon?
Not really, not the way that Catalans have been playing. We all know that they don't travel very well, but the biggest surprise really is the defence has not been tightened up. Usually you see if a team's leaking points week in, week out, you expect a reaction at some point, and we've not seen a reaction from the Dragons team in the defence case. You know, like the defence has not tightened up, it stayed pretty weak all season, and you would have thought with the problems, the issues that they've had, it would have tightened up at some point.
I know I've been reading the trade press obviously on Monday morning, there's talks of Lauren Fraser, and you've been, you know, touted as the first coach to lose his job in Super League. Do you think, how many more games do you think he's got, Liam?
Not got many. It's the 10th anniversary of the Catalan Dragons coming into Super League this season, and they've put a lot of emphasis on that, and that's why they came off the big signings with Willy Tonga and Todd Carney. And this year was supposed to be their big, big season.
On paper, they are extremely impressive, aren't they?
And as we know, the game's not played on paper, and that's the problem. You need to make sure that you transfer the teams that you've got onto paper onto the field, and that's the problem that we had a lot of times when I was there as well.
All right, the final game of the round, which was the first game on the last Thursday night, was a big one between Wigan and Warrington. And as we suspected, at half-time, Wigan did announce Sam Tompkins was coming back to join them. It was the worst-kept secret.
As we announced.
Yeah, as we announced.
Exclusively revealed.
No, we said we expected that they would announce it. Actually, I think the fact that they did make that announcement, it kind of overshadowed the Ben Flowers element of him coming back into the game himself, because that was seen as a bit of a negative, but all the focus was on Sam Tompkins coming back.
Do you think that was a marketing ploy, or was it just coincidence?
I think it was smart. I think it was a marketing ploy, and I think it was a smart thing to use. So, but the Wigan-Warrington game itself, absolutely brilliant game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think in that game there was some try score that I've not seen better skill for players scoring tries. Stephen Ratchford, the cut-out pass. Just class, top-class tries scored on that night. Brilliant rugby.
But, Rob, you've played alongside Stephen Ratchford. He is a natural athlete, isn't he?
He's probably, he's by far, I think, a natural better player than Richie Myler. And I think that Richie Myler's come out in the press that potentially he wants to go down to the NRL and earn himself a big payday. But pound for pound, Stephen Ratchford is key to probably our England team in the next couple of seasons.
And definitely key to Warrington's success also. Okay, stay around, listeners, as we'll be back soon. We'll hear more from the lads, and we'll be discussing all the hot topics from the world of rugby league. All that and more coming soon.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
Pulse One. On 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulseone.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
You're listening to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. And a reminder, there's a chance to win a pair of tickets to next Sunday's, which is the 3rd of May. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday's match at the Providence Stadium. Odds all between the Bulls and Sheffield Eagles. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is the answers that we've had in so far are all wrong. I thought this would be an easy question to answer. Well, an easy-ish. It's not supposed to be easy. But the question again is, what was the name of the stadium where the Bulls secured their first Super League title in 1997 against the Sheffield Eagles? So basically, as a bit of a hint, it's where Sheffield Eagles used to call home. Okay, contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or tweet us using hashtag RHP show. All right, now we just finished off talking about Wigan. Sam Tompkins, as we said before, he spoke about Wigan announced last Thursday night that Sam Tompkins will be returning to Wigan in 2016. But Sam Tompkins has revealed this week that actually Warrington were in the race for him. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that was ever going to happen, or could that purely and simply just have been an opportunity for him to pump his wages up a little more?
Cash is king. We were talking about it in the office a couple of weeks before, you know, once it came out that Sam was coming back to England and to Super League. And we looked at the other clubs who could potentially afford his wages. I think Leeds have a kind of a real good wage structure, don't they, within their kind of ranks. Probably they wouldn't break the bank because they've got a lot of good youngsters coming through, the potentially the next Sam Tompkins.
We've got Hardacre, who was also the best fullback.
Exactly.
After Sam.
Yeah. After Sam, yeah.
There was only really Warrington and Wigan that
playing
could potentially afford him. And Warrington have got Matty Russell and some other good players that are coming through the ranks. So it was a two-horse race, and obviously Wigan, it's where, you know, he gets a nosebleed if he steps too far out of Wigan, and they all like to come home like the rest of the Tompkins boys.
Like Leon. Just like Leon, he likes to be from home, mate. Never too far from home. Got those ruby glass slippers. There's no place like home. On that, though, obviously this then puts the spotlight, because if we're talking breaking the bank, and obviously Wigan already have one of the best squads in the competition, then we're starting to talk about salary cap issues. And this brings back into focus the marquee player proposal that is being touted, I think, in all the media media rags and every element out there. They're talking about every club. The proposal is every club gets the opportunity to have one marquee player that does not count on the salary cap. What are you guys' thoughts on that proposal?
I think it's imperative that we get that kind of structure brought into the teams.
What are the benefits? What are the weaknesses?
Well, the benefit is that we get to get some superstars back in Super League. At the moment, we're very much kind of promote from within, from our youth. We've got a lot of youth players coming through a system, which is good, because the clubs only have got to pay them, you know, small wages and what have you. But we're losing the superstars. We're losing Sam Burgess, the Burgess twins. We're losing James Graham, Sam Tompkins.
The cream
of the crop that you pay to watch, that you pay to go and watch. And we'd like to get them players back in Super League so that people can sit down on a Thursday, Friday night on the front of the skybox and watch those players and be interested and talk about them.
Yeah, I'm with Leon on this, and I think obviously as long as it's viable and as long as the business can function and pay those wages, maybe there should be a separate contract. You know, for example, if Provident, being, you know, obviously Bradford Bull's main sponsor, if they turn around to us and say, well, listen, we'll honour whatever contract, we'll pay one person's wages up to whatever, and it's nothing to do with the club, it kind of might make, you know, if Coca-Cola wanted to sponsor Robbie Paul, do you know what I mean, they guaranteed that his wages would be paid and that the business would function, it'd be a great PR and a great commercial aspect.
So do you then think that there will be implications involved with the marquee player signing, saying, because obviously a salary cap is there to make sure to secure that clubs don't go beyond their ability to sign players, because you've got player welfare issues there if the club goes into administration and can't then therefore fulfil the wages. The club obviously then also runs foul of the sport itself. Do you think then if the proposal does go forward, there has to be an ability for the club to show that they can actually sustain those wages for the full squad?
Yeah, I think so. But again, just with the marquee thing, if you were to go and get, because I'm most clubs and look at it, it's a commercial business now, they have all got commercial partnerships, commercial agreements, and I'm pretty sure that if, you know, Bradford Bulls went up to Bristol Street Motors or whatever, or one of our key partners, and said, would you like to pay
the
wages?
You're doing a fantastic job for all of the Bulls' key partners at this point.
Yeah. Maybe we could even go to see Monocoatings or someone like that, or potentially Blurred Access. But yeah, if you went to one of those companies and said, listen, do you want to subsidise those wages, I'm pretty sure that they would.
Oh, I'm giving Rob a high five on that, because obviously they're my partners as well. One of the issues, though, could that then still create a bigger gulf between the haves and the have-nots? If you've got the bigger clubs that already sort of have a secure stranglehold on the competition at this point in time, will that not just with one marquee player, the ability to sign a marquee player and continue to push that gulf even further between the team sitting in the top four and the team sitting in the bottom?
I personally don't think so, because you all get the chance to sign one big player and one player doesn't make a team. But I'd much rather have sit and watch Wigan with Sam Tompkins playing than Sam Tompkins not in Australia. You know, I'd much rather watch Leeds with Callum Watkins carving it up on big money than not watch him. So I think each player having one marquee player, each team having one marquee player is quite a good idea for me.
But I think so as well. We were just talking, you know, look at the central funding, what obviously each club gets from the RFL, and it's 1.8 million or something around that. Now, look at Leeds Centurions. I think they got £500,000 of central funding this year. I know, you know, they had some injuries and they got some injuries during the game as well, but they competed. And obviously there's a difference of like £1.2, £1.3 million there, and they competed. maybe that one player wouldn't really make that much of a difference to a team, but it'd be nice to see and it put some bums on seats.
Well, I mean, that's one of the questions that I want to pose, because in my own mind's eye, I don't think a single player will have that big a difference on the outcome of a game, and especially the outcome of a season. Of course, every competition likes to have those go-to men, but a single player? Leon, what are your thoughts on that? That one single player is going to be that destructive to the rest of the competition?
Maybe not that destructive. I think Sam Tompkins coming out destructive to a competition. I think, you know, he's probably the best player that we've ever produced in the Super League. But all the other players, you know, they'll have an impact, but I'm not sure how big. But for me, it's more about the attention. You know, right in the papers, on the television, people talking about these players coming back to Super League. Burgess is coming back, and being able to afford them and talk about it in realistic terms, it's exciting to talk about, isn't it?
Okay, well, I think that the marquee player issue with this panel, actually, I think we're all for it. Are we all for it?
Yep, 100%.
Okay, let's keep the talent within the competition and within the game on these shores. Moving on, a number of Super League coaches, Dennis Betts and Jake Webster, recently have sort of discuss whether or not Sunday fixtures should become a thing of the past. Now, obviously, with the new Sky agreement in place, we are seeing at least one Thursday night fixture, and the turnaround times from a Sunday to a Thursday night game leaves only 3 days, which we've discussed already on the show over the past few weeks, the debilitating ability that has on the players in recovery time, etc., etc. A lot of clubs now are choosing, I think there's only two clubs that play their game regularly on a Sunday. I think that's Wakefield and Hull KR, I think. The rest of the clubs are choosing to play their matches on Friday evenings. Do you think that Sundays will become a thing of the past if the current status with playing Thursday night games stays in place?
I think it's something to do with the clubs financially. For me, I think if the fans are saying they want to watch the game on a Sunday and they get an extra 2,000 or 3,000 fans through the door on a Sunday, then I'm sure the clubs will be able to afford it. You probably know more about it than me, Rob.
I think what you've got to do, you know, for example, in Hull, you know, Hull KR don't compete with Hull FC apart from on the field. So you're either a Hull KR fan or you're a Hull FC fan. What you're competing against is other sports. So you've got to look at the football side of things, the golf, the Formula One, Wimbledon, all those other things. So if we can make our, you know, all right, we're going to have to change our, you know, when we do play our games. But rugby league, especially when we look at the playoffs and now the Super 8s, we like to make things different and be innovative. And I think if we do change our dates, but it's done with a good strategy and there's a reason behind it, or as you like to say, Robbie, a rationale, but they've done the market research and find that the fans want it on Thursday or Friday, you're not going to please all the people all the time. But if you can please the majority, and that again puts bums on seats and looks at it from a business perspective, then that's surely good for our game.
Well said, Parker. Very well said that one, Parker.
There is an interesting element too. A lot of supporters probably do not know that actually a lot more beer is bought on evening games.
Yes, again, but that's the secondary spend, that's sweating the assets, as we say. But you've got to look at the generation of your large core population of your fan base. So you know, if it's a Thursday night game, are we putting kids out of the game? You know, young kids or young families, but then on Sundays, do older people like to come to the game? You know, you kind of 70, 80-year-old people, diehard Bradford fans or rugby league fans. I don't know the right or reason, you know, right or wrong reason, but as long as it's done for the majority, for the good of the club, then there's a decision to be made.
So obviously we're going to have to take into account the strategic thrust of the business itself, how they look at their marketplace, how they look at their supporter bases, and what's going to be the lower hanging fruit for them to get those maximum returns. I think that's what you're saying, Rob, in a few more words than I did. Okay, coming up next, we'll continue to talk hot topics. We'll announce next weekend's winner of the match tickets up at the Bulls, and also we'll look at the weekend upcoming matches in the Super League and the Championship. So don't go anywhere. You're with RHP on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
Pulse 1. On 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
All right, y'all, welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse 1. Now, we're continuing on with our look at all of the hot topics across the sport, as well as announce tonight's winners for the tickets to Sunday the 3rd of May's top of the table clash between the Bulls and the Sheffield Eagles. We do have a winner. We'll also preview the rest of the weekend's upcoming matches across West Yorkshire. So, hot topics, halfbacks. You know, it's a big talking point, especially from an England international point of view. Now, Gareth Widdop has secured his position as a you would argue that England's number six for the next few years. His quality down under, highly rated, and he's proved himself at international level also. Now, he's been linked with Rhinos, and also Warrington have said they wouldn't mind having a look at him. But just on Warrington, news out this week that Richie Myler, their halfback, his contract ends at the end of this year. And Smith, Tony Smith, the Warrington head coach, has indicated that the Wolves have said that he has a desire to play down under and they want to support him in that. How do you guys think he would go down under?
I think,
I mean, his style of rugby, he's a finisher, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a very kind of supportive.
He's yet to prove himself as a ball-playing halfback, which are quintessentially the Australian halves are.
Fantastic word choice there, quintessentially. Like that. He's a bit kind of like a Sean Edwards. You know, he'd kind of run past the ball, but then he'd be up in the middle and he'd be really, you know, sniffing around and picking up all the scraps to score tries. Yeah, yeah. Maybe Richie's, you know, and the game has evolved since then, but Richie's a very, very good support player. Again, maybe they're looking at now Stephen Ratchford, who we spoke earlier in the show, to more build a team around him with the talent that he has in his arsenal.
Leon, you play in the halves. What are your thoughts on Richie Myler going down under? He's apparently has a wish to go down under. His agent is flouting his ability down under.
So he's apparently doing his job, isn't he?
There's some interest from Manly, who are losing their two international halves this year. It's not as good as Blackpool Beach, but it's still...
I think he may struggle a little bit, if I'm totally honest. I think it's to play in the halves compared to any other position in the NRL is the toughest feat for me as a player. Obviously, he's got ability, but I think, like Rob said, he's more of a support player, more of a running seven that supports rather than a fantastic kicking game and taking ball to the line and putting people through holes, which I think he could struggle if he goes down, if I'm honest.
Plus, his bird's from Blue Peter as well. What's she going to do? She going to move over there?
He could do well. You know, there's not... I'm not saying it.
He's 24 years of age.
He's young enough to go now and give it a crack, innit? Why not?
I mean, his style of rugby, though, you would play. You would suggest that it's probably a little more akin to being a modern fullback, someone who can ball play, but more effectively is coming on the back end, picking up the scraps, which is what a modern fullback kind of does. You know, he's coming around the edges, he's creating that extra man, he's the X factor that other halfbacks are working with.
But he's not going to ever play fullback because I don't think he's big enough. And that's, you know, not to sound, you know, disrespectful to him, I just don't think he's big enough to be able to suit a physical NRL game.
Well, we wish him all the best no matter what happens. Okay, over to our winner, and this will be for two tickets to a week on Sunday, 3rd of May's top of the table clash between the Bulls and Sheffield. The question was, what stadium did the Bulls win their first ever title in 1997? They played against Sheffield Eagles. It was a first past the post competition at that point, and the stadium was called the Don Valley Stadium.
You play then?
I did.
Did you lift the trophy then?
I played in that game. No, they didn't have the trophy at that game because they waited for us to come back to Oddsall.
But did you get beat in the return game or when you was lifting the trophy?
No. We played Paris Saint-Germain.
That was it.
That was we played them at home and we put about 50 points on them. So it wasn't... I tell you a fact about that game. Actually, I was sponsored by Mitre at the time. I'm not sure they're still a sports company, but they gave me gold boots. They made this competition and gave me gold boots and they literally dipped the 22 millimetres, you know, the 22 mils.
The big ones.
Studs. Dipped those in gold to add real gold flakes on the studs, screwed them in, and then gave me them to play in. I wasn't allowed to warm up in them. Basically, they were a brand new pair of boots.
How much did they give you?
Stretching.
Let's go to the chairs. Let's not talk about that.
It's all about high
five. Have we still got them?
No, it was for a competition that they run in the sun. And one thing I did notice, though, when I walked out for warm-up and ran out onto the pitch.
Did you wear them?
Yeah, I wore them. All the gold flakes come off. They didn't even last. So what they did, as soon as I come off the field at the end of the game, they ripped the boots off me and put brand new studs. They did two lots of brand new studs.
I want them boots.
Oh, they were cool. They were cool. Okay, so our winner for the competition, long way getting around to this, our winner for the competition is Ashley Kane. All right, Ashley, we'll be in contact with you and we'll let you know how you can pick up the tickets from the Bulls. All right, what a weekend of rugby we've got in front of us. Wakey are at home to Wigan. How do you think that one's going to go, boys?
I think even though Wakefield are at home, Wigan are starting to really hit
it's
the straps.
It's a battle, that game,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think there's going to be 40, 50 points put on them.
Agree.
Okay, we're looking at a 40 to 50. Leon, you're at home to the Giants. They've had games now. Last time you played them, they weren't ready, but it wasn't their fault.
And no. You did a number on them as well, didn't you?
This is going to be a very, very tough game.
I mean, you guys are in good form.
They're going to want revenge, aren't they? I reckon they're going to want revenge
just because of what you said.
I don't care. Couldn't care less. I know it's going to be tough, that's all. And tough nothing game. Gives me greater pleasure than beating Blue.
That's all right, ladies and gentlemen. That's they're mates, so they're allowed to talk about that. Rob, what do you think the outcome of that game's going to be? I'll put you on the spot here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Leon. I think they finally turned the corner. I think they've got some real good players now, starting to get back some confidence. And there's no more call now for Lee Radford to be sacked in the morning.
At the moment.
I'm with Leon on this one.
He's coming in.
I think there's
more
a bit of love between
already.
Me and Leon today. It's probably because I've just paid him that fiver.
Oh, actually, yeah, we didn't mention that. Rob's just handed over the fiver for the bet that they had with the Wigan Warrington game last weekend. So I got to admit, though, he did pay you in 5p coins. So £5 and 5p coins.
We've also put another bet on now that I'm going Wakefield, he's going Lee for the Challenge Cup game.
Okay. The big game on Friday night at Leeds versus Wolves at Headingley. Now, that is a big game.
It is, yeah. And Warrington is still, they're coming up into, they're starting to get some confidence.
They're finding some form. They didn't play too bad last week.
But no chance will they beat Leeds on the form that they're on.
Leon.
Leeds win.
He's agreeing with me. Three from three.
St Helens versus Widnes at St Helens. Got to give that one to Saints, eh?
Big win for Saints, I think.
Do you know what? I'm gonna go against him for this one. Widnes always play really well against Saints.
Yeah, they do.
And Widnes always raised the game against
Saints. Yeah, but Saints have got to bounce back from
they've got to show some passion after last week's performance.
All right, hold KR away at Catalans also.
Catalans, decent win.
I think Catalans. I think it's a tough place. They had a tough game against us men last week. Probably got bumped up and bruised and stuff. So, yeah, Catalans in their own back garden.
And Castleford are going down to Salford, which is the last game of the Super League clubs that we'll be looking at. Cass, what do you reckon? Cass down at Salford. Got a bit of a hiding last weekend.
Yeah, Salford
are struggling, though, with injuries.
I actually hear that the assistant coach, Ian Watts, might be playing for him this week. So, definitely, Cass, they're down on numbers.
Salford's injuries, you've got to favour it, Cass.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give them that as well. Okay, in the Championship, actually, West Yorkshire is empty this weekend. The Bulls are away at Donny. They're in South Yorkshire. Batley away at Lee. They're down in Mordor. Dewsbury away down in London, down in the south of the country. Halifax are away to Sheffield, doubleheader at Donny. So they're in South Yorkshire as well. And Featherston are away to Whitehaven. And Hunslet are away in Workington up in Cumbria. So an absolutely empty weekend. Boys, it's been great. We've come to another end of another show. Thanks
been
once
a pleasure.
Again.
Been a pleasure.
My thanks to Leon and Rob. Big thanks to you all for listening at home, wherever you are tonight. Now, make sure you join us next Wednesday. Total Access is next here on Pulse One. As always, I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul. Thanks for listening. And make sure you enjoy your lives, love your families, live your rugby, and we'll see you next week.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One. Every Wednesday evening from 6.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880. Pulse One.